Hi there, and welcome to the Manufacturing Report for the week of April 10th. I'm Scott Paul, president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing and host of this podcast. You can find this and past episodes of the Manufacturing Report on iTunes and SoundCloud and on our Facebook page at American Manufacturing. If you'd like to hear more of this, please take a moment to like the podcast and perhaps even write a review and share with a friend who would enjoy hearing the Manufacturing Report. You can tweet us at KeepItMadeInUSA, and you can connect with us on our website, AmericanManufacturing.org. This week, we'll explore buying American with your tax dollars and how this issue could create an unlikely alliance between Senate Democrats and President Trump if the White House follows through on its plan. Let's get started. President Donald Trump has been proclaiming his Buy American, Hire American plan frequently. But what does the president mean when he says this? America has had Buy America policies on the books for more than 80 years. It means that certain types of goods made possible by federal spending, like assembling warplanes or building bridges, must be made in America. We at the Alliance for American Manufacturing have been working on this issue for the past decade. And for the better part of that, so has Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin has been a great leader on Buy America policies, and in particular on ensuring our nation's water infrastructure, everything from manhole covers on sewers to the water pipes that bring drinking water to our homes, are made in America. I had a chance to sit down with Senator Baldwin, who has written a new piece of legislation to strengthen Buy America laws, to get her take on working with the president on Buy America policies, as well as where she sees America's trade agenda heading. Let's have a listen. And I'm honored to have as a guest Senator Tammy Baldwin from the great state of Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on the Manufacturing Report, Senator Baldwin.
I'm delighted to. Thanks.
And thank you as well for all of your leadership on Buy America policies. I know this is important to manufacturers and workers in Wisconsin, and they very much appreciate your leadership on this. You recently brought to light some findings of a GAO report that established that the United States isn't winning in the procurement game when it comes to serving our own market.
Absolutely. This was an interest of mine for some years, and I joined up with a colleague, Senator Merkley, to request an in-depth study of how some of our bilateral and multilateral trade deals impact Buy America provisions, procurement preferences, if you will. And what we discovered is by including them in trade deals, we really provide way too much wiggle room to that basically allows multinational manufacturers to compete for government opportunities as though they were domestic corporations, and foreign companies to do the same. And that's distressing, because I want to be able to tell taxpayers in my state that when their hard-earned tax dollars are being spent on various government activities, but including infrastructure, that it is supporting American products and American jobs.
It was striking to me that the United States had essentially opened up its market to foreign providers for items covered under procurement agreements at five times the rate, like the next
exactly.
Five largest markets. It's stunning to see that, and I hope our listeners will take a look at that report. Now, you not only highlighted this report, you decided to do something about this and recently introduced legislation to strengthen Buy America laws.
Right. So there's a lot of things we have to do, and certainly we have to heed what was said in that GAO report and make sure that as we look at trade deals, either in retrospect or prospectively, that we don't give this away the way we have in the past. But so this to me is like an all hands on deck issue. And so, yes, indeed, I have recently introduced legislation, a Buy America provision for water infrastructure, in particular drinking water infrastructure. And I used the opportunity to go to Neenah Foundry in Neenah, Wisconsin, which is sort of a legendary business in our state and frankly throughout the country and the world. Most people know Neenah Foundry from the manhole covers. If you walk down many streets in America, you'll see made in Neenah, Wisconsin. Certainly you'll see made in the USA. And it seemed the perfect place to highlight the fact that in our most recent water infrastructure bill that passed both houses of Congress, Buy America language that I authored was snatched out of the bill at the 11th hour at the behest of lobbyists representing Russian steel importers.
And it's hard to imagine this because this is an issue that has bipartisan support. It has support from American businesses and American labor. And it's something that President Trump talked about as a candidate and as a president. But it doesn't sound like the Buy America, Hire America plan applied to water infrastructure in this case.
Yeah, and to deepen the irony, President Trump, then President-elect Trump, this was during the lame duck, was doing what has been called his victory tour. And he went to Cincinnati, his first stop on that thank you tour, and said, two rules will guide my infrastructure projects. Buy America, Hire America. And it was the next day that Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, and House Republicans plucked this provision out of the water infrastructure bill. And it was just horrifying. And I had no idea why at first, and then read reports in the Wall Street Journal that they had been visited by a major lobbying firm whose clients included importers of Russian and Chinese steel. And if that weren't enough of a story, that same law firm had just put former Speaker John Boehner on the payroll.
That sounds a lot like business as usual that I know you and others are trying to stop. And in this case, it's both American taxpayers, American workers that are paying for this kind of influence. Now, I know you had a chance briefly to talk to President Trump about Buy America and, you know, hopefully getting his rhetoric on this to match policy. Are you optimistic or are you taking a wait and see approach?
Well, let me explain the context. I had a very quick opportunity to meet the president and introduce myself, knowing that it was just going to be seconds in length. I said, what should I? What topic should I bring up? And since I've heard so much rhetoric out of him on Buy America, I told him I have just introduced Buy America legislation, and I look forward to working with you on it. And got a sort of thumbs up, great type of response, and that was it. So not a substantive negotiation, but hopefully that will follow. I think the other thing I would say is, I do see this as an issue that provides opportunity for progress immediately. There's so few of those these days, that whether it's with regard to our trade deals, or proactively when we look at new infrastructure projects, and certainly that's on the agenda, that we can secure strong and a solid commitment to Buy America in those bills.
Well, it seems to me that if the White House wanted to reach out and build those bridges to a lot of the industrial state Democrats like you who have been working on trade reform and procurement issues for years, that there's a majority position to be had there, but it's kind of getting them to translate rhetoric into policy. This has come to the fore also on trade recently. you know, President Trump campaign said that he would rip up NAFTA, said it was a terrible agreement. But then, you know, it's come to light in the last week or so that at least where the president wants to go with NAFTA renegotiation doesn't quite match the rhetoric on this. Is that concerning to you, Senator?
Yeah, so I've been seeing probably what everybody else has been looking at, a sort of draft that was leaked out of the White House about how they might proceed with changing and renegotiating aspects of NAFTA. And frankly, it didn't go very far. And I have always viewed NAFTA as an unfair deal, especially as it impacts Wisconsin workers and Wisconsin manufacturers. And so I was looking for and hoping for sort of more robust interest in changing language, renegotiating language. And, you know, particularly along the lines that we've been talking about, whether it's procurement or things like how disputes are settled. And I didn't see enough change. In fact, it looked too much like the status quo.
Yeah, and I know that, you know, he and others have, you know, gone into very specific detail about what's wrong with NAFTA, both labor and environmental provisions, the investor state provisions, as you mentioned, procurement and other issues. And it looks like they may have a long way to go. In many ways, he's done the easiest thing he could have done, which was withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which I think you and a bipartisan group had helped to ensure the defeat of before he signed the paper. Thank you for that. But that a lot of the we've yet to see a lot of the rhetoric translate into policy so far.
Right. And, you know, even as he was nominating individuals to serve in key cabinet posts, that was a question that I engaged those nominees on, whether it was Wilbur Ross or, you know, an upcoming vote will be on the U.S. Trade Representative, really hoping that there would be a vigorous renegotiation of unfair trade pacts. And, you know, I had heard some encouraging things, but I'm not seeing the follow through yet. And we need to keep on pressing so there is the follow through.
I agree completely there. And I want to thank you for bringing a working person from Wisconsin to the State of the Union so that, you know, your voters can hear firsthand kind of democracy in action and the policy
being made.
Absolutely.
It was such a thrill to bring Roddy Rice, who is a retiree from the NINA Foundry, to listen to the president's first address to a joint session. We had the opportunity to do a series of interviews where Roddy was so well-spoken in terms of talking about the difference that these jobs make, and all of his friends, as well as a son who are still at NINA Foundry, but how those businesses will struggle if there's unfair global competition. And there's no question in my mind that that unless we rein in the unfair competition and express a preference for Buy America, we will see some of those jobs go.
Well, Senator Baldwin, we'll look forward to working with you on those trade reform policies, on Buy America policies, and want to thank you again for joining us today.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
And that will do it for the Manufacturing Report for the week of April 10th. You can find this and past episodes of the Manufacturing Report on iTunes and SoundCloud and on our Facebook page at American Manufacturing. If you'd like to hear more of this, please take a moment to like the podcast and perhaps even write a review and share with a friend who would enjoy the Manufacturing Report. You can tweet us at KeepItMadeInUSA, and you can connect with us on our website, AmericanManufacturing.org. I want to thank the great teams at E18 and AAM for making this podcast possible, as well as the office of Senator Baldwin for making her available to us during a very busy week. Thanks again for joining us, and see you next week. Together, we can keep it made in America.